Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $40,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, it's Jen Arenos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 1, I think it's 133, or do we already have 133? I'm not going to let my co-host answer, because he's not allowed to talk till he's introduced. Our hardcore fans, maybe John would know, if he's listening right now, he's probably yelling into his, whatever he listens to through, yelling the episode number. I'm going to go with 133, but I'm checking my email just to make sure. This is maybe, perhaps, the greatest starting to our podcast we've ever had. Yep, I'm going with episode 133. That's it. That's what it is, which is convenient because this episode goes out to my lovely wife, whose birthday is on Friday, and she's turning 133, so it's perfect. it dovetails nicely to that. And I told her I'm tired, and this is probably going to be a bad episode, and I'm proving that so far. But she says she doesn't want a bogus. She said bogus, which shows how old she is. She doesn't want a bogus episode dedicated to her. So I guess I'm going to have to step it up, or my co-host will have to step it up, preferably him. Who am I? I'm the husband of the person whose episode this is dedicated to. My name would be Jeff. Uh-oh, see, I'm so ill-prepared. I don't even have a nickname. Oh, of course. I got to be Jeff Beeston 25-8. This is the episode. I definitely have to be that name. Fox. So Jeff Beeston 25-8 Fox. Thank you. Hopefully that nickname's not taken by someone else. If not, I'll have to change it to like Overtime or something like that instead. So anyhow, thanks for coming. Hopefully you'll listen to us on our feed, the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, so you can get us our picks in your ears right away. If you're listening to this on Friday, then you're probably listening to it on the main SGPN feed because we don't go out there until Friday. So all the smart kids are in on the main MMA Gambling Podcast feed, because then they'll be getting this in their ears either Wednesday night, if you're a super fan like Jong, or Thursday morning. So there you go. Let's bring in that co-host of mine that's going to carry the load this week. This is a big episode. We're not just breaking down UFC. We're also breaking down a couple Bellator fights. So you're getting lots of picks from us, a lot of bang for your buck. And considering you pay nothing for this, you're really getting a good deal. All right, my co-host, I know his nickname. His nickname's Gumby or Danny V. It's Daniel Vreeland.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Very little. I'm looking forward to I feel like lackluster isn't even the right word for this UFC card. With like a couple of exceptions of dudes who I like legitimately really enjoy watching for maybe not even skill reasons. Like I just you have to enjoy a William Knight fight or a Huggy Bear Barnett fight or like you gotta enjoy those. Yeah, Monkey King, right? You gotta enjoy those for like reasons completely unrelated to like how close they are to the rankings. But like the co-main of this one is two dudes coming off the Contender Series making 10-10. Which is pretty wild.
Which made this card very difficult. I did not have any fun making picks for this card when I was doing my research. There's a lot of the fights I'm sure on are all like minus 400s or whatever, and the ones I'm not sure on are I'm like, who is this guy? Do I even remember this person? So there's too many of those on this card. So hopefully. Danny, who knows every fighter and everything about he or she's backstory, will help change some of the question marks I have on my spreadsheet in front of me into Stone Cold Lock picks, right?
Yeah, I don't think they will, but I will tell you that when I was making these picks, you know, like you said, the ones you were sure about were negative 500 or whatever. I had a couple where I was like, okay, I'll make that pick, and then I like went to go look at the odds afterwards, and I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought it was really close, and I went to go look at the odds, and then I was like, negative 410 on so-and-so? Like, that's an absurd number. And then I, like, second-guessed my
pick. Chitara? Minus 425 on Chitara?
I mean, there are some that are just, like, really, really questionable. Like, that is definitely one of the ones where I was like, let me go back and remember these two fighters. And I was like, Myra Buena Silva is probably a little better than Yanan Wu. You know, like, I'll probably cash it, like, negative 175. And I looked it up, and it was negative 490? Like, what?
How did this
happen? So, yeah, no, that's not the only one like that, too. So we'll highlight a couple lines to just frickin' stay away from during this episode.
Yeah, we may have trouble with our recommended plays this week. We'll have to wait and see. I think maybe we'll dip into Bellator first since we're only doing two of those fights, and it is first. It's coming up on Friday. So before we go into that, let me tell you about WynnBET. Of course, lovely WynnBET sponsors us. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $10, win $200 promotion. I got it right, where a $10 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And of course, don't forget to get involved in their same game parlays with the wins. Own build your own bet feature. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offers up to change terms and conditions at wynnbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And if you like winning stuff and you like the NBA, actually, you don't even have to like the NBA. If you like winning stuff, the NBA Playoffs Bracket Challenge, we're running at SGPN right now, just in time for the playoffs. We're giving away $500 in our bracket challenge. That's $500 right out of Gumby's pocket, completely free to enter. Actually, it doesn't make it to his pocket. It comes out of his pay before it makes it to his pocket. So completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/NBA playoffs or hit the contest link in the SGPN app for your chance to win 500 bones. And you know what you can do with that 500 bones? You can buy some Coors Light, lots of Coors Light. It's a hectic time of year between weddings, graduations, spring sports, and more. We're busier than ever right now. And sometimes we forget to take a second for ourselves. So this season, take a second to enjoy an ice-cold Coors Light because you deserve a beer that's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. When I need to take a second for myself, I reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And remember to always celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. We have given you lots to celebrate. If you follow my picks all year, which seems no one is because everyone loves Gumby more, but if you follow my picks, you're definitely celebrating. If you followed Gumby's picks last week, you're definitely celebrating as well because we had a good show of things on the UFC side of things. Let's see how things go with Bellator. And we had multiple people in the Slack ask us to break down Bellator and the SGPN Slack, which I strongly suggest everybody get in on because it's lots of fun, filled with lots of good people. I want to say lots of good guys because basically it only is guys, but occasionally we have some ladies in there. It would be nice if we had some females in there once in a while, but regardless, good people in there, and we're always talking fights or whatever other sport you're into, or food, or music, or whatever else, fill in the blank. All right, so multiple people meeting too. We had two whole people ask for this. One of them, Superfan Jong. They want us to break down the top two fights, the two title fights on this Friday's card. This is the most excitement we've ever had for a Bellator event since we started recording, I think, Dan. So we got a double title fight card going down, and it is Friday night, 7 p.m. on Showtime. Where are they this week? Is it their usual spot in Connecticut or not?
No, I don't think they're in Uncasville. I think they're in San Jose, the other of their two main spots.
That used to be the – well, no, that was Strikeforce.
Well, I mean, so since Scott Coker took over Bellator, it's also kind of Bellator's secondary spot along with Uncasville, Connecticut.
Yes. How's the casino there, Dan? You told us about the casino in Rhode Island. How's the casino in Uncasville?
It's nicer than Twin River. I actually I'll tell you a funny story about that one. That was like one of the first places I ever went to a live MMA event. Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut. And me and my brother went to go get food before we were going in. So I was going clearly just as a spectator at this point. And I saw Filthy Tom Lawler walking barefoot through that casino with Seth Petruzzelli, the guy who knocked out Kimbo, who was fighting that night.
Yep.
So, yeah, we got to see barefooted. He just decided there's no need for shoes in a casino, and it was the most Tom Lawler thing to ever happen.
New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Champion. New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Champion Tom Lawler, who wrestles. I think he wrestles. Does he wrestle barefoot or not? I think he does. I know he wears, like, cut off, like, jean shorts, but I don't think he wears boots, but I'm not positive.
It would be wild, by the way, if he walked around a casino with no shoes, but then wrestled with shoes.
That would be bizarro world. Yes, I looked it up. This one is in the SAP Center in San Jose, California, which means I will be able to get everyone the official fighter payout purses, because California is one of the last athletic commissions that actually releases the official payout. So I will have that on my moneymma.substack.com as soon as they send it to me. So early next week, that will be up there. So, all right, so this is going down Friday on Showtime or YouTube for free in Canada. Ha ha. 7 p.m. Eastern. We only care about the top two fights of the card. We got tournament championship, which doubles as a title championship championship fight as well, and then we have a featherweight rematch championship. I'm seeing my words are already getting mixed up, Dan, but everybody understands it was all the right words, just the wrong order. But all right, let's break down the first one. Tournament championship, it would be at the 205 pound division, which would be light heavyweight, last time I checked. It contains the actual champ in it. Vadim Nemkov will be defending his belt against Corey Anderson, who you may know from the UFC and from Beastin 25-8. Now, does he go by overtime now, which is lame? I think he does, right?
He does only go by overtime. It's a huge bummer.
It is. Well, I'm keeping Beastin 25-8 alive. This podcast will keep it alive. It'll never die. All right, let's break this one down. We'll tell you about Anderson first. 16-5. 8 knockouts, so half of his wins are coming via knockout. He's been knocked out himself 4 times. He's won 7 of his last 8. He is on a streak. He's 3-0 in Bellator. All of his wins have come via TKO. He was 10-5 in the UFC, had a very good run there too. He also was the Ultimate Fighter champion because, once again, it all comes back to the Ultimate Fighter. He was 3-0 in the house, and then he won the championship. Was that light heavyweight? Heavyweight? What division was that?
I think it was light heavyweight.
He beat a bunch of people I'd never heard of.
Yeah, he beat Matt Van Buren in the finals. I will always remember that name.
Even the person in the finals I haven't heard of, really. I guess I watched it at the time, but yeah, I don't remember that guy. So he used to fight a heavyweight. He's got 3 inches height and 3 inches reach on the champ, Nemkov, plus 142. Nemkov, 15-2, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once himself. He's 7-0 in Bellator and is the champion, as I said. He's won 9 straight fights. He won his last fight via submission. He also used to fight at heavyweight. He was a Sambo champion. He's 3 years younger than Anderson, minus 180. We'll let Dan break it down for you.
So, fun fact, before we get too deep into the breakdown here, do you know who Vadim Nemkov's TKO loss is to?
Huggy Bear.
No, it's Yuri Prohashka, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, back in Ryzen, as part of their Grand Prix, he got knocked, their like initial Grand Prix to like kick off the organization. He beat Gorian Relyuk, which you might remember from UFC fame, and then 2 days later turned around and got, actually he just didn't come out for the second round against Yuri Prohashka. So Prohashka gets the TKO. This one's a tricky one for me because on one hand, Nemkov does wrestle really well. And Corey Anderson is a decent offensive wrestler, but not really much of a, I don't think he's as well-rounded as Nemkov. But lately, he's looked really good on the feet. And part of me just, like, can't kind of overlook how good he's looked there. Knocking out Ryan Bader is certainly, like, something to note. Before that, he went by ground and pound. He's beaten people with elbows prior to that. And even if you go back to, like, when he was in the UFC, he beat Glover Teixeira and Johnny Walker and Ilya Latifi as part of that run before getting knocked out by Jan Blankovic and being shown the door. So I think I'm actually going to go with Corey Anderson here. I don't have a really good read on this fight because, I think both of them do very similar things. But I just been kind of higher on Corey Anderson striking than Nemkov lately. So if I can get plus money on a way that I'm only slightly leaning, I'm going to take that.
All right. Sounds good to me. I'm not making official picks. I don't pay enough attention. Well, I pay attention to Bellator. I don't watch enough of it. But all right, good. Plus money. Hope you did gens like that if it comes through, of course. Main event is a rematch. Rematches, I generally always go with the person who won the first matchup because normally, especially when you have immediate rematches, because normally not much has changed. So this one is for the featherweight championship between the current champ, AJ McKee. Do you know what his nickname is, Dan?
The Mercenary?
Yes, Mercenary. Yeah, I think it's just Mercenary. And then, okay. Patricio Freire. Do you know his nickname, Dan?
Pitbull. Yeah, he's one of
Oh, you know that one?
He's one of the 72 Pitbull brothers.
I know. Anyhow, Patricio Pitbull, 32-5, 11 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, so he's a very hard man to finish. He's 20-5 in Bellator. He's been the champ two times, actually two weight classes. I think he was featherweight champ two times too, was he not? Or am I wrong there?
I believe he was featherweight twice because didn't he lose to that Daniel Strauss, I think, who wound up being a giant scumbag. Is he the one I'm thinking about who is a giant scumbag?
He had a whole lot of drug issues and arrests and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, and then he was a double champ until very recently. He was the lightweight and featherweight champ, and then he got a little too cocky, and he gave up his lightweight championship, and his brother won it, and then he lost his featherweight championship. So now he has no championships, and if he doesn't win it back here, what's he going to do? Tell his brother he wants his belt back? He didn't think that went out too much. So anyhow, let's finish his breakdown. Like I said, he used to be a lightweight as well. He's won 8 of his last 9. However, he did lose his last fight via submission to the man he's facing this week. Made his debut back in 2004, plus 280. You probably wonder what the line was, McKee via submission in that first fight. Must have been pretty good, because Pitbull has never lost by submission until then. So,
yeah, I mean, his line straight up in that fight to open was plus 100.
Yeah.
And it closed at, like, negative 105. So you got to imagine the subline, which I can't find in the archives here, but you got to imagine the subline was pretty good.
Yep. Let's tell you about this year champion man, AJ McKee, 18-0, 6 knockouts, 7 submissions. So both these guys are very well-rounded finishers. All of his fights have been in Bellator. That's the impressive part there. He is their champion. This will be his first title defense. He's won 3 straight fights via submission and 4 straight fights via finish. He's 8 years younger than Pitbull, 4 inches taller than him, 8 inches of reach, minus 455. Go ahead.
I'm going to take AJ McKee. Also, I was able to dig through Best Fight Odds archives and found that AJ McKee by submission was plus 450.
Well, if someone has a time machine, go back and take that bet.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's going to do it. I'm going to take McKee again here. Look, I think in addition to being just as dangerous on the feet as Fury, I think he also absolutely schools him on the ground if he wants to, and in just about any way possible. There's a reason why this line is so wide. The second time is McKee has consistently showed time and time again. He's probably, you know, people always ask me where guys would fall in the rankings if they flipped over to the UFC. Like, I definitely think he's a top 10 featherweight in the world. Some people have argued as high as top 5. Some people have, in very silly fashion, argued he's better than Volkanovski, who I think is the best in the world. Yeah, like, I don't think he's that. But, like, he's up there. He's really good. If you put him in a fight with, you know, Brian Ortega, I think you'd be shocked at how competitive and fun it was. So, yeah, like, he slams Pitbull here, and I think it's no problem.
Yep. I agree. All right, so there you go, you hardcore Bellator degens. They're your picks for this week's Bellator card. All right, we're going to jump into the UFC, the slog that is this week's UFC. But first, maybe we should take some Athletic Greens. That might help us get through it, because we are brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, which help you adapt, Dan let us know last week, to help you start your day right. A special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All those things. There's still a typo here. Please, someone fix this. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you, that's you, listener, a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Plus, we're brought to you by Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best-tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. It's expert-tasted coffee. Trade's coffee team actually taste tests thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade's first match guarantee. Trade is so confident they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback, and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send you a brand-new bag for free. So that's what you need to know there. Right here, here's what you need to do. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 on your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. All right. Let's make us more than 30 bucks. Let's make us a lot more than that. On UFC Vegas 51, a.k.a. UFC Fight, sorry, UFC and ESPN, it's actually called, Luke A versus Mohamed 2. All right, rematch, like I said, Vicente Luque versus Bilal Mohamed, part 2. So it's going down Saturday. We got a 5:30 p.m. Eastern start time for the prelims, and that will be on ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus. And then the main card is on ESPN, which is a shame because it's not a very strong main card. But anyhow, it is 8:30, I believe, is what I saw the start time. Does that sound right to you, Dan?
That sounds right.
we'll say it is. And it's Eastern, so there you go. And that's on ESPN as well, in ESPN Plus, like I said. Not as well. First one's ESPN 2, second one's ESPN. And like I said, those cards are usually stacked, but I don't think the UFC cares anymore about these things. So anyhow, let's start things off from the bottom. Bantamweights, Healy Alatang versus Kevin Kroom. All right, this was, like I said, this is a bantamweight fight. Somehow Kevin Kroom is going to get down to bantamweight. His nickname is Crash. Maybe he's going to crash diet down to there. Haha. He's 21-14 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 4 times. He's 0-2 with one no contest in the UFC. He won his last fight via submission, but it got turned to a no contest because he was smoking the weed and got popped for it, but that's not an issue anymore. He also was in Bellator. He went 2-1. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle. Oh, sorry. Yes, my bad.
That's all right. I got to steal a drink that way. He's at featherweight, 2009 debut. He's 6 inches taller than Alatang, 7 inches reach. You know, I'm a sucker for those things. Plus 150. Alatang, do you know his nickname, Dan?
I don't off the top of my head.
The Mongolian Knight with a K. Okay.
We had him on the same card as the Mongolian Murderer one.
Yes, I remember that. Oh, the good old days, eh? Fun times. 14-8-2. 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 2-1-1 in the UFC. However, over his last 2 fights, he's gone 0-1-1. Over his last 2 fights, and his last fight was a draw. I used to fight at featherweight and flyweight, so this is right in the middle of those. He's 4 years younger, grappling stats in his favor, minus 180. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to take Alatang in this one. I know the reach is there for Kroom. I'm really worried about what he looks like at 35. Yep. Like, I don't think this is good for him at all. And in addition to that, if you go back and look at what has historically beaten Haile Alatang, it's like that one fight that Casey Kenney came out for some reason and looked otherworldly with his striking, which I don't know what was in him that day. Maybe it was that – I think he was that was out on Fight Island where he threw like 72 straight body kicks and just lit up the side of Haile Alatang. But apart from that, like, he hasn't lost in the UFC. He's got that draw to Gustavo Lopez, which was – he was way out front. Every single judge gave him rounds 1 and 2 before Lopez took a 10-8 third. Don't get me wrong, Kroom's like durable and stuff like that, but I don't think he's going to put a big round on Alatang at the end. I think Alatang comes out strong. He at least bags the first 2 rounds, if not puts Kroom away. Because like I think Kroom down a weight class is not only a bad move, but probably a bad move for as much punishment as he can take.
Yeah, I'll take Alatang too for basically the same reasons. We're gonna see a 5'11", 135 pounder apparently, so that'll be interesting if he makes it to that weight. So, all right. Starting next on the menu, women's strawweight, Estela Nunez versus Sam Hughes. So we got Sam Page. Hughes is 5-4, 1 knockout, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-3 in the UFC. She's won 1 of her last 5 fights. She used to fight at 125 and 135. This one is, what did I say this one's at? This one's at
strawweight.
115, yes. Yep. She's inch taller, grappling stats in her favor, plus 175. Noon, 6-2, one no contest. She's knocked out 2 people. She's been submitted. Both of her losses have come via submission, actually, 2 times. 0-1 the UFC. She lost via submission, of course. She's got loss, win, loss over her last 3 fights. She went 2-1 in 1 championship. She actually fought for the belt there, I believe. That's where her loss came. 2 inches of reach on Hughes. Striking and active striking stats in her favor, minus 215. I'll take Noon since she's already fought at the highest level you could fight at in 1 championship. this will be a piece of cake for her. But I think Hughes has not really looked UFC caliber since she's been in the UFC. So I'll take Noon's this one.
Yeah,
go with
the
chalk.
I'll say not only that. I'll say for as far as the technical breakdown goes, like Hughes has had a lot of trouble in the clinch. In the UFC, and granted, against some really good competition, right? Like the Tisha Torres loss is certainly nothing to be ashamed of, especially after what Tisha went toe to toe with Mackenzie Dern this past weekend. But like, I just think she's had such trouble there, and her striking is maybe not the best in the whole wide world. And I don't really think she's gonna out grapple Estela Nunez. You know, like Nunez lost in her debut to Ariane Carnelosi, but like I'm high on Carnelosi too. Whereas like I mean, like, Hughes has just looked 3 steps behind everybody who's beat her. And like I said, some good competition with Tisha Torres and slightly less good competition with Loma Lukbume and slightly even worse competition with Luana Pinheiro. And I'm not even sure Estela Nunes is all that far behind Luana Pinheiro, and I think she just, you know, outstrikes her at will. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Estela Nunes here, too.
All right, we're linking up so far. Usually good things happen when we have the same picks. All right, lightweight, Jordan Leavitt versus Trey Ogden. Do you know Ogden's nickname, Dan?
I don't.
The Samurai Ghost, obviously.
The Samurai Ghost?
Samurai Ghost.
Yes. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. I don't lie, man.
That's terrible.
Samurai Ghost versus the Monkey King. We got in this one. Let's tell you about Monkey King first. 9-1.
The Samurai Ghost?
The Samurai Ghost. You have to have him on your podcast and find out, Dan.
He's already been on.
Really? Why do you love nicknames?
I didn't know that was his nickname. It's not on Tapology.
Maybe you need a better co-host, Dan, on your podcast. Just saying. Just saying. All right. Monkey King first. 9 wins, 1 loss. 1 knockout. 6 submissions for him. He's never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC. He's got win, loss, win. Both of his wins have come via finish. He was 1-0 on the Contender Series. 6 years younger than Ogden, or the ghost of Ogden. Plus 112. Samurai Ghost, 15-4, 11 submissions. He's been submitted himself 3 times. This is his short notice debut. He's won his last 3 fights via finish. He's a regional champ. 2 inches height, 1 inch reach, minus 135. Should have heard of Ogden. I think he has some hype behind him, right?
He came off of the Dana White's looking for a fight. Not the annoying one where they hired reality TV stars to make the choices for him, but the one before that. And he had a really good performance against J.J. Okanovich, who not only fought on the Ultimate or the Contender Series, but had a win on the Contender Series. So, like, I wouldn't say he has a lot of hype behind him, but he's a guy who fights out of Glory MMA, which, you know, always I put a little stock into. And in addition to that, has, like, been at this for, like, a minute. Like, his pro debut was all the way back in 2015. So, like, he's had, like, 7 years in the fight game. So, he's a guy kind of later in life getting his first shot at the UFC. I'm not sure necessarily that he didn't have hype. He was the Fury FC champion, which means something. But with that being said, I am going to go with Trey Ogden. There's a reason he's a favorite here. I think he'd be a bigger favorite if people weren't all in on Jordan Leavitt and thinking his submission skills are great. Like, don't get me wrong. I do think his submission skills are great, but he's up against a guy who has back-to-back-to-back submissions, and I would argue J.J. Okanovich, not a worse grappler than Jordan Leavitt already. So, like, he's already out there subbing guys. Not to mention, like, the other thing about him is, like, he just is not going to be on the bottom all that often in this fight. He's, like, a safe, smart wrestler. And if I know James Krause, like, he might also just not go to his wrestling at all. Like, he might just force Jordan Leavitt to stand and trade. And I don't think Leavitt can take him down. So there's so many paths to victory here for Trey that I'm not really worried about Jordan Leavitt in any way. You know, Leavitt's got those 2 UFC wins, one by slamming Matt Wyman in fashion that nobody could have ever predicted, and one with, like, you know, Matt Salas making some of the dumbest grappling moves of all time. So I don't think Ogden does either of those things, and I think he wins this one pretty handedly.
Yeah, he hasn't exactly beaten a murderer's row of people. The only thing that concerns me is short notice debut, but having James Krause in his corner hopefully will help alleviate problems that could bring. So I'll go Ogden too. Plus, Sam, you can't go against Samurai Ghost, even though Monkey King is also a very good nickname. Samurai Ghost is just far too ridiculous.
It's one of my new favorites.
There you go. All right, heavyweights, big boys. Here, speaking of favorites, we got Chris Barnett versus Martin Bouday. Booty. We should call him Booty. No, he's Baddies is his nickname. Barnett's Beast Boy, but we don't call him that. We call him Huggy Bear because that's really what his nickname should always be. He should not have a second nickname. All right, Huggy Bear, 22-7 with 17 knockouts. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 1-1 in the UFC, won his last fight via TKO. He used to be a super heavyweight. He's at plus 180 here. Baddies, Martin Baddies Bouday, 9-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. This would be his UFC debut after winning on the Contender Series, where he was 1-0. He won 8 straight fights, all via finish. He is a regional champ. He's 7 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, 5 years younger, minus 220. I got to go with Baddies here, no matter how much Barnett is I know he's a fun guy, but I think Boudet's actually pretty good, and he's a damn good finisher, and he's way, way, way bigger. I think I will go with Martin Boudet in this one.
But here's the thing I will say about Boudet, because I am going to pick – I'm going to pick Augie Bear here. Just because both – I like the line. Not only do I like the guy, but I think he's kind of hard to gauge. First of all, the level of competition for Boudet, not good. He fought Lorenzo Hood, a dude
who's – heavyweight, yeah.
Yeah, he fought Lorenzo Hood, a dude who's just like a ball of muscle and tires out in about like 37 seconds on the Contender Series. But like pretty much what he does is he just gets in your face and he throws jabs and uppercuts. And not that I think that he can't get it done there. He also does have a big left hand. Like it should be noted, the left hand's good. But like just getting into range and throwing with Chris Barnett's not a good idea. Like that's
probably not.
That's literally the worst thing you could do. Like he could hold him against the cage. I could see that happening. But if he does what I think he will, which is trade with him a little bit from distance, I actually think Chris Barnett holds a pretty good chance there, and at least a good enough chance that makes me want to take a stab at what was the number you officially said we're going with?
+180.
Yeah, I'll take him at +180 there.
See, that's the difference. Dan takes wild stabs. I give you winners, so I'll take the winner here in Martin Boudet. But hey, I think that's why the Gens like you, because they all love to like just throw money down the tubes at big underdogs. So this isn't a huge underdog though.
Yeah, right. It's not as big as all the other ones that I hit. So.
Oh wow! All right, lightweights: Rafa Garcia versus Jesse Ronson. Ronson is the body snatcher. Garcia is gifted. Ronson is Canadian. Dan, did you know that?
I did know that. Yes.
Do you know where he? Do you know what city he fights out of?
Isn't it over in like the Vancouver area or no?
No.
Am I thinking of somebody else?
Kind of by me. It's also the name of one of like the biggest city in the world, biggest city in the UK.
Oh, he lives in London, Ontario, Canada.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. And he's also a cheater, right? He got popped for, it wasn't weed, it was legit performance enhancer, right? That's why his UFC win got scrubbed from the record. So all of us Canadians aren't as honest as we seem. So this fight's basically a pick 'em on the board. I'm going to tell you about Ronson first, since we've already got into some. He's 21-10 with one no contest, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He's in, let me see, over his last, no, this is his UFC career. He's 0-3, one no contest, over 2 stints in the UFC. So he got a win last fight, like I said, but then they got scrubbed for disqualification into a no contest. So he's still looking for his first official UFC win. So he was suspended, so he hasn't fought since July of 2020. He's gone 1-2 with one no contest over his last 4 fights. He was in the PFL where he went 0-2. He used to fight at welterweight. This one is down at lightweight. He's got multiple regional championships on his mantle, I'll say at this time. 2009 debut. He's been a pro boxer and kickboxer, actually a champion in that, both of those. 3 inches of height on Garcia, striking stats in his favor as well, -105. Gifted Garcia, 13-2, one knockout, 7 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-2 in the UFC. He won his last fight, after losing his first 2. He was the Combate champion before this. He used to fight at featherweight. He's 9 years younger than Ronson. Grappling stats in his favor, -115. Who you got in this pick'em?
I'm going to go with Ronson.
Really?
You know, like, yeah, suspension and everything aside, the bottom line is here is I think Ronson is a really strong grappler. Like, he's shown time and time again, not just in this stint, but in previous stints, like, you know, he could take shit to the ground. Like, he took down Kevin Lee back in the day and fought him to a split decision. You know, like, he was, I mean, I guess he knocked down Nicholas Dalby before he rear naked choked him, but, like, he got to Nicholas Dalby's back, which is something. You know, he grappled toe-to-toe with Francisco Trinaldo. Like, he fought Michelle Prezeris. All of those were split decision losses. And granted, that was 6 years ago, but his wrestling looks like it's just gotten better. So, I actually really believe in the grappling of Jesse Ronson, and he's going to be up against Rafa Garcia, who got taken down by a karate guy last time out, like pretty easily. So yeah, I'm like not excuse me, I'm not really high on the grappling of Rafa Garcia, despite the fact he did use it somewhat to his advantage last time out, and I think Rons is just going to roll him that way.
I'm fading the Canadian, because you always have to fade the Canadians. He's been out, like, he's been out a while, plus you got to be concerned about what he's going to look like and fight like after the suspension. Yeah, and then I think Garcia's grappling can hold up, but we'll see, Dan. We'll see. That's why I have to pick him on the board, because it's a difficult fight to pick. So Dan and I are going divergent paths now. So another lightweight fight, Dracar Close versus Brandon Jenkins. Jenkins is a human highlight reel, if you haven't heard. He's 15-8, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 0-1 the UFC. He got TKO'd in his only UFC fight. Before that, he had won 3 straight. He was 1-0 in PFL. He used to fight at welterweight. He's got 3 inches of height, 1 inch reach. I'm Close, 3 years younger than him, plus 425. Dracar Close, whose wife is?
Oh, it's Courtney Casey.
Courtney Casey, good job. He's 11-2-1 with 4 knockouts. He's 5-2 in the UFC. He got knocked out his last fight, but that was back in March of 2020. He's won, that was his only loss, actually, in his last 4. He had won 3 straight before that. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor. Minus 600. I don't like the line, but I like Close. So, especially being out so long, too, coming off a knockout. But anyhow, he's better than human highlight reel, and I pick winner, so I will pick Close to win. But minus 600, he's not going to make his way into my recommended place.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the part that bothers me the most about that. You know, you mentioned the time off. It's not just the time off, but, you know, you're saying the time off is coming after a knockout. The time off is actually coming after a neck injury at weigh-in.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, it is – the circumstances surrounding his time off is, like, really bad. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea how badly that hurt him, seemingly enough to keep him out this long. Ultimately, and I've said this time and time again on here, if you're picking somebody off of a long layoff, you sort of either have to assume they're going to be their old selves or blow up your whole spot here. And I'm just like, I'm going to assume he's enough of his old self, and his old self beats the hell out of Brandon Jenkins, who, for people who don't know, dude who loves to do really flashy things, flying knees, spinning stuff, and I just don't think that gets it done against Dracar Close, who's a pretty technical, straightforward fighter who tries to not get in firefights.
As I read, Dracar Close says he's still dealing with injuries he sustained from Jeremy Stevens' shove. Okay,
then blow it all up, then.
He doesn't think he'll ever be the same. Oh, boy. Sounds,
promising. Awesome. Promising is the word you're looking for.
We're picking him anyway. And Kay Hansen's been cut. I think that was our fault. I think we said that she was going to get cut and go somewhere else, but I think we caused that to happen, Dan.
Yeah, I think it makes we've said this already. It makes sense for her to go somewhere and get fights. So
yep,
good for her.
But this isn't a Kay Hansen podcast, at least not this week. So all right, women's bantamweight, Lena Landsberg. We got a lot of people coming back after a long time off versus Penny Kayanzad. Landsberg's the elbow queen, Kayanzad's bonsai. This is another one with a real fun line. Landsberg, 10-5 with 4 knockouts. She's been knocked out herself 3 times. She's 4-4 in the UFC. She's gone 2-1 over her last 3. She lost her last fight. That was back in January of 2020. She has had a baby since that time. With who, Dan?
Lena Landsberg? Is it a famous husband?
Yes. Well, famous for fighting nerds.
Oh, I don't know this one, I don't think.
Akira Korosani.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. Other Swedish guy. Swedish guy.
He's at least the baby daddy, so I don't know what their relationship status is. But anyhow, Wikipedia never lies. All right, so she had a baby. She's coming back. This is her first mom fight. She used to fight at featherweight. She's a regional champ and a Muay Thai champ. She made her debut in 2012. Grappling stats in her favor, plus 325. Penny Kayanzad, 15-6, 3 knockouts. She's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 4-3 in the UFC over 2 stints. However, she's won 4 of her last 5 fights. She was on a 4-fight winning streak, then lost to Raquel Pennington in her last fight. As I lost my spot on the spreadsheet, here we are. She also was in the Ultimate Fighter, where she went 2-0. She was also in Invicta, where she went 2-3. She also used to fight at featherweight. She made her also made her debut in 2012. A lot of similarities between these two. She got inch of reach, 9 years younger than Landsberg, twice more active, striking -425. Dan.
I'm going to take Pani Khiangzad here. I will say this is one of those fights that when I looked at it on paper, I was like, oh, this is kind of a good fight. And, you know, it's good to see Lena Landsberg back. You know, you never know quite how she's going to look coming back from being away for so long. But at the same time, I was like, okay, well, we'll just treat her as if she looks exactly like she did before. And I was like, Pani Khiangzad looks much better over the last 2 years. I'll probably pick Khiangzad. And then I looked at the line and I was like, holy bonkers, man, is that line off. I think Lena Landsberg's got a way better shot in this fight than the line predicts here. I still am going to go with Pani Khiangzad, but, man, I don't like this from a play standpoint.
Yeah, I'm taking Khiangzad as well, but, yeah, also holy bonkers, I say to this too, Dan. Holy bonkers to these lines. All right, main event time of the prelims, haha. Heavyweights, Devin Clark versus William Knight. you got the Nightmare versus the Brown Bear. William Knight, 11-3, 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself once. He's gone 3-2 in the UFC, lost his last fight. Used to fight or predominantly fought at light heavyweight. Missed weight, so now he's a heavyweight. I saw videos of him lifting some. He benched like 495 for
yeah.
And he was squatting
great.
Like, what was the squat, like 600 pounds or 585? Or the squat was pretty good.
I think it was almost 600.
But, like, just, I know 495's what, five plates on the side, but, like, just put another, like, put a 2.5 on each side and you say you bench 500. Come on. You won't even notice 5 extra pounds. But anyhow, yeah, he's getting quite beefy this way. Let me see. He was on the Contender Series where he went 1-0. He was a regional champ. He's at +145. Brown Bear Clark, 12-6, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times, 6-6 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 2 straight. He used to fight at middleweight and light heavyweight, so he's going way up. Doesn't want to cut weight anymore. He was the RFA champ. 2 inches of height, 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger. For him, -175. I'm going with William Knight. I think he screwed us over enough in the past, and I think he owes us a few now. Plus, I'm not impressed. Like, Devin Clark, the days of him being impressive seem to be well in the rear view, and you never know what you're going to get from William Knight, and he's definitely a massively powerful dude. So it's with crazy knockout power. So let's take a stab at it. William Knight, +145.
So let's start here. First of all, William Knight was always meant to be a heavyweight. And
ball of muscle.
I don't just mean size-wise either. I mean the way he fights.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
the heavyweight
yeah.
division so fucking well. Because, like, he is just unpredictable. And he makes huge mistakes. And then he powers out of them as if it doesn't matter. And then he capitalizes on somebody else's huge mistakes. Because that's just the type of fighter William Knight is. And I think that's exactly the type of fighter that beats Devin Clark, too. Because, you know, Devin Clark has been known to make mistakes, particularly in the grappling. You know, see the Anthony Smith fight or, you know, go back and see the Jan Blankovic fight or anything like that. And, yeah, okay, William Knight's neither of those two guys. But he capitalizes on mistakes quite well. In addition to that, I think Devin Clark's going to be undersized and understrength in this fight. William Knight is just going to power out of shit when he needs to. So, yeah, I'm going to go with dog money here on William Knight, too.
And Devin Clark, you can make mistakes with him. He's not a finisher, so.
No, absolutely not. Total decision machine.
Exactly. So he's not going to catch William Knight in anything. So, oh boy, can we make, in the future, I don't care what happens with this fight, can we make Chris Barnett versus William Knight in the future, please?
Oh my God, that is a real possibility now.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
If they both win and it doesn't get booked, I'll be pissed.
Or even one of them versus Alexei Oleinik would be fine too. Like, there's so many funny matchups at heavyweight. Eh? Heavyweight's just a ball of fun.
Oh man, I don't know who I want Alexei Oleinik to fight again, but somebody's fat for sure.
Yes, for sure. That is a for sure. Okay, that's the prelims. What we gave you mostly winners. I can't say we all gave you all winners because we disagreed on a few of the fights, but. All right, we'll jump into the main card after I tell you about Stable Duel. There are never enough things to gamble on in the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there's a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out Stable Duel, a daily fantasy style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes. We all love real cash prizes. None of that fake Bitcoin stuff, right? Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. Plus, we're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NBA playoffs are set. They're almost set. At PropSwap is where bettors find the best odds and turn the hard wood into hard cash. PropSwap is the only app that allows you to pick your favorite teams and then sell your bets whenever you want. Many PropSwappers make thousands of dollars just by buying and selling championship futures all playoffs long. This allows you to win over and over without your team ever lifting the trophy. Go to PropSwap.com or download their free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP. Your first deposit and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, just don't sell any Phoenix Suns championship futures because you want to hang on to those. Let me tell you. All right. Main card, welterweight. Oh, yeah, Dan. Dan will be writing our NBA previews for the sportsgamblingpodcast.com site. You have to pick the Suns to win. That's one of your one of the rules to writing this, okay? Or I'll have to take it away from you.
Can I also pick the Bulls to win, or does that disqualify?
Who are they playing again?
The Bucks.
Are they playing again? No, you cannot pick the Bulls to win.
I may or may not have a Bulls future ticket. And
From the beginning, PropSwap, dude.
From the beginning of the year, I'm not ready. Okay. I'm not ready to sell.
No, actually, wait till they win. If they win, maybe they can win the first game against Milwaukee, and then you can sell it. That might be the trick.
Yeah.
Anyhow, well, if you want to read Dan's biased NBA playoffs, it'll be out Friday night, Saturday morning. So, all right, Welch rates. Munir Laziz versus Ange Lusa. You may remember that name. We just spoke about this man. He just fought in XMMA, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, April 2nd. So 2 weeks ago. He is coming into the UFC, his debut on short notice. He is the last ninja. He's fighting the sniper. So Lusa, 8-2, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. This, like I said, this will be his UFC debut on short notice. This fight, April 2nd. He was 0-1 in the contender series, but he lost to that Jack Magda Dang Delangalena guy, right?
Yeah, Jack Della Maddalena.
Yeah, that guy, Della Maddalena. All right, so he lost to him. No shame there. He's got a loss, win over his last four. That's a bit of a concern if you want to pick him to win. I used to fight at lightweight. He's 6 years younger than Laziz, plus 170. Laziz, 10-2 with 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself once. He's 1-1 in the UFC. He lost via TKO his last fight. That was back in January of 2021. That was his only loss of his last four fights. He's gone 3-1. He was a regional champ. He made his debut in 2012. He's 3 inches, has 3 inches height, 2 inches of reach on Lusa. So Lusa or Losa?
Lusa
sounds better. Yeah, that sounds much better. Good. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, but Lusa's based off of one fight against that guy. Lama ding dong. Minus 200, Laziz. And it's you first, because I picked the nightmare first last time. So you go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go dog again. I like Anjali.
I am too.
Yeah.
This is a nice number, too.
It's a really nice number. And in addition to that, too, first of all, I think Anjali is just like a little bit more well-rounded than Munir Laziz, who I think is kind of one-dimensional. He's a kickboxer, and he fights like a kickboxer. And when he's not kickboxing, he looks pretty damn bad. And even when he's kickboxing, I mean, Marley Alves beat the hell out of him. You can go back to some of his fights in Brave, too, especially the one he lost to, I believe the guy's name is Elder Eldarov, who was like a hot up-and-comer. I think the UFC signed him or something like that, and then he never debuted for some reason. But anyway, that's besides the point. he did not look good in the grappling department. And I don't know necessarily that Lusa's going to go there, but the fact that Lusa was able to stand and trade with Jack Della Maddalena, who I think much more highly than, you know, Munir Lazez, and not only did so, but, like, possibly won a round off of Jack Della. Yeah, I like Lusa a lot in this. I think there's a lot of reasons to like him, and the number is clearly one of them. And being that this fight was booked fairly recent, I'd probably jump on that quickly if you're listening to this late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning. That line is going to move, I think, and more and more people are going to pick Lusa.
Yeah, it's not even posted in a lot of places yet. So jump on it if you can still get it at a nice juicy number. You gotta be a little concerned about his short notice debut, but it's pretty good fighter and probably more talented. And Laziz has actually been on the shelf for a while too. So let's do it. Plus 170 is what we're locking it in at. All right, featherweights: Pat Sabatini versus TJ Laramie. Bum, bum, bum. He's the truth. He's also Canadian. All right, this do I have trivia for this one? I think I did have. I had trivia. Trivia for this one. I thought, Dan, let me see. People love the Canadian trivia. That's what they come to the show for. All right, TJ Laramie. It was something about where he trains out of. Let me see where he's training out of. Oh, okay. He fights out of Windsor, Ontario, okay? If you go through the tunnel or across the bridge from Windsor, where do you end up, Dan?
Through the tunnel, upstate New York?
And you go to a different country, what city do you go to?
Buffalo.
No. Damn it, man. Detroit. Detroit.
Oh, okay. It's further west. My bad.
Yes, it yeah. is. It is, yes. All right. Dan failed on his Canada trivia, but okay. Anyhow, let's see how he does with breaking down this fight. Pat Sabatini, DJ Laramie. Let's talk about Laramie first. He's the truth. 12-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. Taking this fight on short notice, he's 0-1 the UFC. He got subbed in his only fight. That was back in September of 2020. We got a lot of people making their returns here. 1-0 in the Contender Series. Multiple regional championships on his.
Mantle.
Needed a drink, so there you go. 7 years younger than Sabatini. Twice more active striking, but that's based off of 2 fights for Laramie. Plus 325. Another one of those fun lines, Dan. Sabatini, 16-3, 2 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out himself once. He's 3-0 in the UFC. He's won 5 straight fights. He was the CFFC champ twice. 2 inches taller, 4 inches of reach, striking and grappling stats in his favor, minus 425. And he fights at a Dan's favorite camp, Daniel Gracie. So I will be taking Pat Sabatini. Once again, don't like the line, but he's a way better fighter. So he's winning this fight, and you got to fade the Canadian.
Yeah, I'm going to pick him too, but I'm just going to quickly correct, I think, something, if I heard you correctly, in your stats breakdown. TJ Laramie's not taking this fight on short notice. Pat Sabatini is taking this fight on short notice.
Yeah, I flipped back and forth on this because Sabatini was on this card, though. No, he wasn't. I'm sorry, Laramie.
No, TJ Laramie was supposed to fight Melsik Bakhtasaryan, which, you know, like not great for Sabatini that he's taking it on short notice. But, like, the dude was preparing for Melsik Bakhtasaryan. He is getting a very different opponent. You know, he was preparing for a kickboxer. He's going to get drowned in, like, no time. Sabatini is the easiest pick on this card, even at the inflated number. The inflated number doesn't bother me on this one.
All right. Maybe he'll end up in one of our locks, who's to say. Yeah. Minus 425, lock him in. Moving on, women's bantamweight. Mayra Bueno Silva versus Wu Yanan, as we spoke of off the top. We got Shitara is Silva. Mulan is Yanan's nickname. She's 12-4. Mulan, that would be. Yanan. Mulan, Manan, Yanan. 12-4, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. So everything's a finish except one fight for her. She's knocked out herself once. She's 1-3 in the UFC. Lost her last 2 fights. Last fight was back in January 2021. She has missed weight in the past. Choose to fight at flyweight. She's got 2 inches of height on Silva. She's 5 years younger, more active striker, plus 325. Shitara Silva, 7-2-1, 1 knockout, 5 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 2-2-1 in the UFC. Over her last 3 fights, she got 1-1-1. She did lose her last fight. All of her UFC fights were at flyweight. This one's up at bantamweight, which she fought at before she came into the UFC. And she was a champ at that weight in BMMA. She was on the Contender Series where she went 1-0, and she's at -425, another one of our fun lines.
Yeah, this is one of the ones, again, where I was like, yeah, I'm definitely taking Mayra Buena Silva, pulled up the odds, right, and was like, my goodness, how did they do that? But you
holy
know,
holy bonkers.
Yeah, holy bonkers. I'm still going to take Mayra Buena Silva, though. I just think, Yanam Wu has looked so bad in there sometimes.
Yep.
And maybe my biggest criticism of her is just how slow she looks in a lot of fights. Like, she made Jocelyn Edwards look so fast. And had me sold that Jocelyn Edwards was like a world beater. And then we've seen that's just simply not the case with Jocelyn Edwards. But like, Mayra Buena Silva coming up is going to be faster. She's shown she's got really good sub skills. I mean, she submitted Jillian Robertson, which is, you know, no small feat. There's a lot to like about Mayra Buena Silva. Maybe not at -500, but still enough for me to really like her in this fight.
Yeah, she's had a pretty tough competition in the UFC. She's fought some way better fighters.
I mean, yeah, she's coming off a loss to Manon Fureau, so yeah, absolutely.
She fought Jillian Robertson, Manon Fureau. She fought
Montana De La Rosa.
Yeah. So it's bantamweight's going to be like a breath of fresh air for her. Not as many killers up there as there are at flyweight, or at least the ones that she's faced. So we are agreeing on that. Silva's the pick. Welterweights, Miguel Baeza versus Andre Fiala. Hello. Caramel Thunder. It's Baeza. Fiala does not have a nickname. Maybe we'll have to give him one. He's 14-4 with one no contest. 11 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out himself twice. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He was 0-1-1 in PFL. He was 4-1 Bellator, so he did good in Bellator at least. 2 years younger than Baeza, +150. Miguel Baeza, 10-2, seven knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out himself once. He's 3-2 in the UFC. However, he won his first three and then lost his last two, last one via TKO. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series. He used to fight at lightweight. He's 2 inches taller than Fiala. Striking stats in his favor. He's over one and a half times more active striking, and grappling stats in his favor, -180. That's all based off of one fight, though, for Fiala. I'm going to go dog here, I think. Andre Fiala. This is one of the ones I have a question mark beside. I think I'm going to pick Andre Fiala. Baeza seems to have, I don't want to say hit his ceiling, but he's not looking as good as he did, obviously, to start, and he's not exactly losing to he lost to someone who wasn't even that amazing last fight, right?
No, he lost to Chaos Williams.
Okay, yeah, he's all right. He's not super.
Santiago Ponzinibbia and Chaos Williams.
Yeah, he lost to him. Yeah. All right, I'm taking Fiala unless Dan can talk me out of it.
I mean, I'm going to pick Baeza. I think, you know, like you said, maybe not so great, but you got to remember Chaos Williams has also beat Matthew Samelisberger, the only guy in the UFC to do that, Abdul Razak Hassan in 30 seconds, and he knocked out Alex Morano on short notice. So,
MMA
yeah.
I'm
just saying, sitting here and telling me that Chaos Williams is a shitty fighter when he's 4-1 with only a loss to Michelle Pereira.
Somebody loves Chaos Williams.
I mean, it's just categorically wrong to talk about a dude who's got 2 30-second knockouts and 4-1 in the UFC.
Fine, Dan, he's good.
It's crappy.
You're right. This isn't a Chaos Williams podcast, for God's sake.
It could be. So I'm going to take Miguel Baeza, though, because I'm not sold that he's still not like a top guy. Whereas Fiala, right, if you've looked at him in the regional scene, he's just a power puncher and nothing else. I'm not impressed by his takedown game. I'm not impressed by I'm not impressed really by his speed or his boxing in any way. He's just a dude who's going out there looking to throw absolute bombs. Like, he got stunned by James Vick in the first round of a fight with James Vick. And not only a fight with James Vick, but a fight with James Vick at welterweight. I have a tough time putting any kind of money on a guy who that's true about. And especially when I believe Miguel Baeza is still going to make noise. Like I said, losses to Ponzinibbio and Williams when you've knocked out Matt Brown before. You know, like, I still believe Baeza's got it in him, and I think he takes it to Fiala here.
He believes in the Caramel Thunder. I'll take Fiala and hope that his power punching gets him the W. But this is not one of the ones I am solid on as well as the next one. It's middleweights. Who's fighting, Dan? Gadzi Omar Gadziev versus Kayao Boshalo. I can't remember how to say his name. Say his name, Dan.
It's Kai Bohio.
Kai Bohio? The way I said it was much better.
you got Gadzi Omar Gadziev, though. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is another one that's a tough one because we've only seen these guys on Contender Series. They're both making their debuts here. The natural, Bohio is the natural. He's 10-1 with one no contest, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. As I said, this is his debut. He's won 7 straight fights. He's got 10 straight undefeated. He fought twice in the Contender Series, one at middleweight, one at light heavyweight. Won both of those. Won his last fight via TKO. That was on the Contender Series. He's a regional champ. He's got 4 inches of reach on Omar Gadziev, twice more active than him. This is based off just the Contender Series fights. Plus 120. All right, his opponent, Omar Gadziev, 13-0, 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. Like I said, his debut, he was on the Contender Series, he won via submission. He used to fight at light heavyweight. He's got, actually, this is light heavy, no, this is middleweight, excuse me. He's dropped down to middleweight. 3 inches of height on Bohio. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 145. Over to you.
I'm going to take Bohio here.
I am too. Yay.
Yeah, there's a lot fun. I think there's a lot of things to like about Omar Gadziev, but like he, in his Contender Series fight, he kind of seemed like takedown or bust because he throws like a lot of heel kicks and like high energy moves and stuff that I don't think is going to really work against Bohio, who is a much more smart technical striker, a guy who's going to, you know, work his way under the inside and not take unnecessary damage and stay out of the way of the goofy stuff that Omar Gadziev is going to probably throw. I also think he's going to be bigger and stronger and probably good enough to defend the takedowns because Omar Gadziev on the mat was just kind of like diving for submissions anywhere he could get them. He wound up with a knee bar, which was kind of fun. He actually has the only knee bar in Contender Series history. But I just don't think like Bohio is the type of dude who has a rough time with a guy throwing the kitchen sink at him. I mean, like, we saw him fight Aaron Jeffrey, and he handled that fine. I'm going to go with Bohio here. I also, you know, I'm a fan of the line. I like where I'm seeing it at, too.
Yeah, I'm taking him. I kind of like his resume a bit better, too, than Omar Gadziev. I like the people he's beaten a bit more. Let's roll the dice. Let's get some plus 120 money. All right, main event. Welterweights, Vicente Luque versus Bilal Muhammad. Remember the name Muhammad versus the silent assassin Luque, which is, I think, the perfect nickname for him because he seems to be quite slept on. After I read you his resume, you wonder why you don't hear more about this guy. All right, Muhammad first, though. 20-3, one no contest. He's got 4 knockouts, 1 submission on his resume. He's been knocked out once. He's 11-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight, and he's gone 6-0-1 over his last 7. He was the Titan FC champ. He also was 1-0 in Bellator. He made his debut in 2012, plus 145. Luque, 21-7-1, 11 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been submitted twice. He's 14-2 in the UFC. He's won 4 straight and 10 of 11. 2 straight fights he's won via submission, and before that, he won 2 straight via TKO. He's 1-1. He was 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He's fought at middleweight, debut in 2009. He KO'd Muhammad back at UFC 205, which was November 2016. 3 inches of reach on Muhammad, 3 years younger than him, more active striker, minus 175. Now, Luque is my pick. He should, like, he is, like I said, a silent assassin. He seems to be quite slept on. What I read you that resume has. He is a killer, as Dana White likes to say. And I just think he's a bad matchup for Muhammad, as he proved to be in the first matchup. Muhammad, I guess, if he goes wrestle heavy, there's a chance he could wrestle him for 25 minutes and get a win, but avoiding a guy with the finishing ability of Luque for 25 minutes doesn't sound like a good path to victory for me. So Luque is the pick.
Yeah, and I will also say this too. Like that is, since they last fought and they have changed quite a bit, that is his like area of growth, right? Like he is now a slightly better wrestler. But, like, Do you want to wrestle with the guy who's got back-to-back Darce finishes? Like, I don't. Like, it's not like Vicente Luque has, like, a glaring weakness in his wrestling. you know, like, he went out and beat Wonder Boy that way, and that's great, and that's the right game plan for Wonder Boy. But, like, Bilal Muhammad's striking has not changed since they last fought. Maybe it's a little quicker or whatever, but, like, he's still not going out there and finishing dudes, and Luque is. Like, Luque hurts people. So, yeah, I think it's Luque all day. I'm kind of surprised the line is as close as it is. I have to assume that's some of the shine from the Bilal Muhammad recent victory.
Yeah. Don't you think Luque should be getting more respect than he's getting?
Reading
that resume he has, and it's at welterweight, too, which has got some killers in it. It's not like he's doing this at a crap division either.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where I looked at the line afterwards and I was like, oh, really? Only that? Sweet. Yeah, like, nice. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, this is true.
Because he's better in just about every way, I think.
Yep. His only losses are to Stephen Thompson and to Leon Edwards. So no shame in that. Stephen Thompson's loss was 2019, November 2019, and Leon Edwards was March of 2017. That's it. In the UFC. He also lost to Michael Graves on The Ultimate Fighter.
the finale.
Finale in 2015. So we'll excuse him for that. But other than that, I had him 14-2 in the UFC. That is incorrect. He's lost three times in the UFC. My apologies. But anyhow, I may have to rethink my pick here, Dan, now that I know he lost to Michael Graves at one point. I think I'll stick with him. So Luque is the pick. All right. You got some. I got to change up my approach for these recommended plays. I got to make them more locks instead of me going with all these props that I always go with. I know I've made the statement before, and I still always go back and pick a bunch of props. But
I look forward to your props next week.
Exactly. It's like an MMA retirement. It's basically it's the same thing. But my overall winning percentage is higher picking every fight than it is just picking recommended plays. So that should be the case. Let's try to fix that this week. We'll let you go first, as per usual.
All right, so I'm going to kick it off with I'll take Vicente Luque. I mentioned before, I love the line. I'll take $40 on his money line.
I am backpacking, piggybacking that play. $40 on Luque. What do we have, Matt? Minus 175, did I say?
Yeah.
Is that what I said? I did say that. All right, we will lock that in for both of us. Actually, I'm going to put $50 on it. What do you think of that? I don't like a whole lot of things on this card, so.
You're going to one-up me there.
I am. Matt, man, it's like we're at an auction. Okay, your turn.
I'm going to take 30 on Trey Ogden.
I'm going to take 35 on them. 30 on Trey Ogden. The straight money line?
Yeah, the money line. I think you could probably finish him. So I'm sort of leaning decision, but yeah, I think there's a chance he even subs Jordan Levitt.
Yeah, I better not take that since I'm picking Jordan Levitt to win that fight. let's take $20, Bohio. His line, plus 120. Good line, good fighter, so let's take that one.
All right, I'm going to take 15, and I'm going to put it on William Knight, straight up.
Yeah, straight up, nice. How much is that at that?
I believe that brings
plus
me
145, up. All right.
And I believe that leaves me with $15.
Yep, 70. I'm going to take... I have 70 already. Give me 20 on Pat Sabatini just winning outright, minus 425.
All right, and I'm going to make my last 15. My last half 15, I'm also going to go with Pat Sabatini, but I'm going to go prop here. I'm going to take Pat Sabatini wins in round one, which you can find it at plus 275. Is a line out there for that. So plus 275, he takes TJ Laramie out in the first.
Sabatini plus 275, first round. All right, got it. I'm going to take $10 William Knight money line plus 145 for my last play. So, all right, that adds up. All right, we'll do Dance first, aka Gumby. $40, Luque money line. $30 Ogden money line. $15 Knight money line, and $50 Sabatini prop to win in the first round. $50 this is Jeff now, the one you want to follow. $50, Luque, money line. $20, Bohio, money line. $20, Sabatini, money line. $10, Knight, money line. Boom. All right, give us a super fan, John, 10-1 parlay and get us out of here.
Okay, so this one's a little bit trickier, I'm going to say, because...
Not two fights?
Yeah, well, I think if I weren't to Bellator one, I could probably do two fights.
That's true.
Because there are some wild numbers over there. But let's do... let's put Pat Sabatini, but we got to get him... We're going to say not just that he wins. I won't take the first round one again for the Superfan John parlay, but I am going to say he wins by submission. I think that one's pretty easy. And you can get it at +175. We're going to mix the William Knight line in there, too, because William Knight, as I pointed out, you know, an extreme value there on his number. And then we're going to just close with Jesse Ronson straight up. So Sabatini submission, William Knight won money line, Jesse Ronson money line. You're getting 12-1.
Wow, 12-1. Where do you get 12-1 anywhere else, people? So there you go. Three fights will get you 12-1. So once again, Sabatini submission, William Knight money line, Ronson, Jesse Ronson money line. Boom. And he's got a Canadian in there. Perfect. All right. We did it. Long enough episode. It's late at night. I got to get this posted for all you degens that are – I don't think John sleeps, so he will patiently be waiting for it to – or impatiently waiting for it to bounce into whatever his catcher of choice is. So I'll leave you with – follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox, writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. Reader stuff, sportsgumbypodcast.com. All sports there. Read my MMA stuff at moneymma.substack.com. I think that's it. Any parting words, Dan? If not, you can take us home.
No, I'm good. And not only am I good, but I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and he is Caramel Thunder, Jeff Fox.
Yep.
We will catch you next week.
I am.